Good evening. This is the Great Northern Radio Show, broadcasting live from the Chief Theater in downtown Bemidji, Minnesota. This program is made possible by the generous support of the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm Aaron Brown. Welcome to our show. We share music, humor, and stories about modern life off the beaten path. We stand tonight in the headwaters of the mighty Mississippi River, and we start our show from the beginning, too, with a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, a talented Anishinaabe hand drummer and singer from here in Bemidji, Nate King. Introduce our special guest tonight, all the way from Duluth, Minnesota, Too Many Banjos.
live in the country, gonna live in a country home. Build it off from square one, build it off and live alone, live alone. Leave it all behind me, leave it all and start again. Start another chapter, then, chapter then. Mountain climber, be the man I'd like to be, living off the country, living off it naturally, naturally. Mountain lions, watch the mountain lions play. Birdies in treetops, birdies in treetops sing, treetops sing. Welcome to the backwoods, welcome to the backwoods way. Go and take it easy, go and take it peacefully, peacefully. Napping in the evening, now before it's time to go. Go and get our dinner, go and get our dinner there, dinner there.
They'll be with us all night. Well, the Great Northern Radio Show is brought to you by the Iron Mining Association. From paperclips to ships, iron ore is a key element used to produce almost everything we use daily. If it wasn't grown, it was probably mined. More at tackatnight.org. We'd also like to thank the board of the Paul Bunyan Playhouse and the event staff here at the historic Chief Theater in Bemidji for hosting us this evening. For those of you listening on the radio, you should know that we are broadcasting live from the full set of Bemidji Community Theaters, the magical Pied Piper of Hamlet. It's an old German village. We forgot our lederhosen at home. We make the effort this evening not to abscond with your children. That's the goal. The Great Northern Radio Show was born last year on the Iron Range, where I'm from. This is our second show. We named it for a railroad that doesn't exist anymore, at least not except in corporate lineage. It's the Great Northern Railway, the railroad that took the iron ore off the Iron Range and that fed the economic engine of the 20th century. And we named it Great Northern Radio Show because that's how we are. We're on tracks. We're moving. We're moving from town to town around northern Minnesota, a special place. Being here in the headwaters of the Mississippi makes you think about water. It makes you think about where water goes and all the people who live along the way along the water here. And water brings people together, which is really important because it's an election year and everyone's going to be dividing, you know, and going different directions this year. But as crazy as politics might seem these days, the election of 12 that I really get a kick out of was 1912, well, about 100 years ago. And I just love the dynamic of this race. The incumbent, an incumbent was the Republican president, William Howard Taft, who was a conservative 300-pound Unitarian. You don't see that much. You don't see it much, is what I'm saying. His Democratic rival was a very unpleasant New Jersey College president, Woodrow Wilson. Nobody actually really liked him, but he won that year. And then, and it was the last American election in which a third party had a real chance to win. And the third party candidate, for those of you who follow history, was Theodore Roosevelt, former president who had then founded the Progressive Bull Moose Party. He carried Minnesota. He carried most of the counties in Minnesota, including St. Louis County. Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt. He's on Mount Rushmore. St. Louis County, he carried that. He carried Duluth. But here in Beltrami County, the winning candidate was not any of these people. Oh. The county was carried by Eugene Debs. Who was labels mean different things in different times, but he was a socialist, and he was in jail for being a socialist. He was in prison. He was in prison, and he carried Beltrami County, also carried Lake County up in northeastern Minnesota. Lake. But Minnesota was a battleground. It was a battleground between, in northern Minnesota, it was a battleground between Debs and Roosevelt. And Roosevelt carried the state, and Debs carried Beltrami County. And that's just an interesting time in politics. But on the subject of politics, there's an old saying that goes, diapers and politicians both need to be changed often and for the same reason. And that brought me to the attention of the most recent Bemidji news story I saw back in the range and all over Minnesota, of course, the diaper dumper that you guys have here. The adult diaper dumper who dumps diapers, ironically, near the dump. Doesn't go all the way there. And it just goes to show that, you know, communities can be known for lots of things, and I'm really hoping that for your sake they catch this diaper dumper. Adult diaper dumper. I think the adult diapers are what makes it a really unusual story. But that quote that I said about politicians and diapers, often attributed to Mark Twain, who was a Mississippi River steamboat pilot in his early years. Real name was Samuel Clemens. Took his pen name from the term Mark, which is to designate, and Twain, which is a level on the river, a depth measure. And Mark Twain once said of the Mississippi River, "The Mississippi will always have its own way. No engineering skill can persuade it to do otherwise." He also said in an interview talking about the upper Mississippi, which he thought was always ignored, the part of the river that goes all the way up here. He said, quote, "There are crowds of odd islands, bluffs, prairies, hills, woods, and villages, everything one could desire to amuse the children. Few people ever think of going there, however." Dickens, Corbett, Mother Trollope, and other discriminating English people who wrote up the country before 1842 had hardly an idea that such a stretch of river scenery existed. Their successors have followed in their footsteps, and as we form our opinions of our country from what other people say of us, of course, we ignore the finest part of the Mississippi. Mark Twain. So we all need to look at the river more, especially here at the heart of the headwaters. Water makes us think about life. Tonight, the Great Northern Radio Show has run on westward tracks. We raced a train to get over here. It's an honor to be here in Bemidji tonight for our first show of 2012. It's the season of Easter, the season of spring, the first week on the air for 90.5 KBXE. And there's a lot to be hopeful about. Hope and love have a lot in common. They're the only things that can defeat darkness, fear, and hate. Not only that, hope and love are invincible if we love and if we hope. Hey, things are already looking up. I'm done talking, and it's time for Too Many Banjos.
I was not a man at all, I was just a boy, finding rocks upon the shore that brought me so much joy. Since then, but I still blush when nervous. Pretty girls in grocery aisles giving me lip service. Oh, hey.
Banjos from Duluth.
Deep in the north woods of Minnesota, loggers clear the virgin forest to build the cities of America. Thousands of men work with axe and saw, but one man stands above the rest, literally. You know his name. He's the folk hero, Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
He stands so tall, he Paul eats Bunyan, the clouds.
Paul Bunyan.
With
Paul
baby's Bunyan, blue eyes, he's so proud.
Paul Bunyan.
His shoulders span the countryside with plaid that's fashion dignified.
Paul Bunyan.
Whoa there, babe. I need to let my axe cool before it melts. You've been doing a fine job hauling logs this morning. Mind your tongue. You'll get your sugar cubes, friend. I tell you, working this high timber...
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello, this is Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
His bone is bigger than a cow.
Paul Bunyan.
His data plan makes kids say, wow.
Paul Bunyan.
When he hits send, it shakes the stars. Paul Bunyan always has four bars.
Paul Bunyan.
Babe, you won't believe this. That was the FLI by Night Oil Company in Williston, North Dakota. Why, yes, that is the area I flattened in a fit of rage one winter. Anyway, they're offering me $1 million contract to extract oil from the sands of the Western Dakotas. They said all I'd need to do would be to drive my pick into the earth and use my mighty straw. Easy money. Let's get out of here. Hey, boss.
Yeah, Paul. Where is it? Well, did you clear those acres yet?
Nah, listen. Here's the deal. I'm going to work for the oil companies for a while, at least until I can afford to buy a professional hockey team or my own senator. I figure it will take a few months. I'll call you when I know, but I gotta shove. I'm taking Babe with. He can pull the tanker trailers and handle public relations. That's right, Babe. Development of the American energy industry does reduce our dependence on foreign oil.
No. What are you talking about, Paul? You're the greatest lumberjack in the woods. I can't afford to lose you. You can take down a white pine with one swing of your trusty axe, pick it up, and throw it to the mill like a spear.
Wood is the past. Oil is the future. I mean, it's cheap, plentiful. How could it ever run out? Causing petroleum prices to rise in a delicate global commodities market. Why would our economic leaders lead us down that road? It wouldn't make any sense. It's been great, boss, but I'll be gone for some time. Good luck here in Beltrami County.
Paul, wait, can't we work something out?
Paul Bunyan.
He's gone west to tap the crude, boo-hoo.
Paul Bunyan
is an oily dude, ooh-ooh.
Paul Bunyan.
Selling out and being crass, don't let that big door hit
you. Hey! Knock it off, you woodland chorus. Don't forget who rescued you from that two-bit gin joint and gave you steady work. Come on, babe. These woods are too small for us.
He's gone away.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad. I need to deliver 1,000 timbers downriver to the mill or else I'm gonna get fired. My head is swimming. I need the wisdom that only a camp cook can provide. Hey, Miss Elsie, get over here.
Yeah, what is it, boss? I got shoe pack pies in the oven and spuds are boiling.
Never mind that, Elsie. Paul and Babe just left for North Dakota.
Holy swing dingles. That's trouble. You fired all them actual lumberjacks when Paul showed up, and they went and joined a union. To get them back, I'd have to feed them filet mignon and gourmet sherbet. I don't even know how to spell them.
Don't remind me, I know. Paul was able to do everything so easily. He was tall. He was strong. He
ate everything in camp. Have you seen the outhouse? Ooh! Sweatpads and loggenberries. It staggers the mind.
Oh, how I have clambered up the corporate ladder of the 19th century timber industry, only to be laid low by the rolling logs of fate. I have two daughters at the teacher's college, you know, with tuition at 50 cents a credit. That's not easy.
Oh, I know. And that doesn't include chalk and girdles. Them girdles are required, you know.
Well, we're going to have to figure out something. Hey, didn't Paul say he had a brother, Steve, who lived down in Duluth? If he's half and big as strong as Paul, he can help us out. Let's send for him.
Mm.
Steve Bunyan.
The big dramatic turning point. The big dramatic turning point.
Steve Bunyan
comes to save the day. With maps in hand, he finds his way.
Steve Bunyan.
Hey, Elsie, he's here. Steve Bunyan is here.
Where? I'm looking up near the tree line for his giant head. All I see is the sun.
No, look down on the road. He's not that tall.
My stars and garters. He's just a little feller, not but 5'9".
Hi, I'm Steve Bunyan. You the boss?
Yeah, this is my lumber camp. This here is Miss Elsie, the camp cook.
How you doing, Steve?
Oh, pretty good. Anything that gets me out of the office is a pretty good deal. I work in the county surveyor's office. Oh, I read a lot of maps.
I see. And who's this here?
Oh, this is Bob the Ox.
Yes, Bob is a fine ox. I see. He's kind of a blackish-gray color.
Right. That's the color they usually come in.
How big would you say Bob is, Steve?
Oh, I'd say he's pretty big. He's an ox, you know. They're a lot bigger than horses.
Not quite as big as a bunkhouse, though, eh, Steve?
A bunkhouse? Oh, no. Oxen generally don't get that big.
So how would you describe Bob?
Well, I'd say he's a regular ox.
Bob the regular ox. And you're Steve Bunyan, Paul's brother?
Right. Though people always used to joke that I was the regular-sized milkman's kid.
Mm. Well, I suppose that's all okay as long as you can clear this forest by the end of the week.
What? The whole forest? With what?
Your mighty axe and steady saw.
You mean these? I got these at a hardware store on the way up here.
Are you serious? One, that's a bow saw, and two, that axe handle looks about 18 inches
long. Hey, I tried that 3-foot handle, but it slipped and hit a squirrel. Dang near lost an eye from all the nuts he threw at me.
Have you ever worked as a lumberjack before?
Well, I made a coffee table once back in shop class. Paul liked it. He used it as a toothpick.
Listen, if I knew Paul's brother was just a regular guy with a regular ox, I don't know if I would have sent all the way to Duluth for you.
Yeah, I suppose I can see your point. I mean, it's not like I haven't heard that before. My whole life I've lived in the shadow of my brother. I mean, literally, in the shadow. On account of his height, I didn't see the sun until I was 16 years old. But then I learned that there's a big world out there and that world can be charted on these wonderful things called maps. Oh, I loved maps the way Paul loved being extremely large and destructive. When he went out to the woods, I went into the library and found out my true calling. I only came out here because I want to see some of the world that I've always read about. You can send me away if you like, but I'm done dreaming about the world. I'm ready to live.
I don't know. I guess I shouldn't have expected you to be just like your brother. Hey, now, wait a minute. I think you've got an idea. Maybe, just maybe, you could use your skills to help us.
How? I'll never cut down all the trees you need.
Paul cut down the forests of the upper Midwest to build America, but you could fill them back in with knowledge. In the wake of carnage, perhaps you, Steve Bunyan, can create new understanding. Where there's discord, perhaps you can bring harmony. Where there is despair, Steve, you and your regular-sized ox, much like any other ox, could bring hope to the hopeless.
But he is just an average man, completely typical in every way, utterly unremarkable, mediocre, milquetoast, mundane, regular. Why, he can't even lift an axe.
Okay, we get it. Now, that might be, but I'm good at maps. And I am fun at parties. Here, pull my thumb.
We won't need to, Steve. This is how you're going to make your mark. You're going to map the Great North Woods. You're going to chart every corner of every backwoods byway of this forest. Note every lake, every fish, every deer and moose. You're going to check the height and width of every tree. You're going to tell the world everything there is to know about the mighty boreal forest of this land.
And you're going to bring back that map right here so we can figure out where Paul lost that 40 up by Dora Lake.
I think I can do that. In fact, I'm going to start right now. I'm going to hop up on Bob here and pull that cart of surveying equipment out into the wilderness. This will be the crowning achievement of my life. I'm going to make the greatest map that ever existed.
Well, Steve, I can tell you one thing for certain. The Great Northern Logging Company would sure appreciate just such a map. Good luck.
Good luck, Steve Bunyan. The world is depending on you, more or less within reason. I mean, as long as you don't...
Yeah. Thank you both. My life has a new purpose. You have unlocked the key to my imagination. I will henceforth help the human race find the right direction, so long as they hold the map right side up. Goodbye!
Well, Elsie, I guess this just goes to show the power of regular people to do good, even if they lack any discernible talent or distinguishing features.
Right. But what are we going to do about that quota of logs you got to send down the river?
I don't know. I've been thinking, maybe this corporate rat race isn't for me after all. If I've learned anything from Steve Bunyan, the most average man to ever walk these woods, it's that sometimes life doesn't need to be so complicated. You know, though, we could run some copper wire up that tallest white pine over there, and using a series of modulated electromagnetic waves, we could send out a signal that we could use to create in the bunkhouse. We could play music, talk about the weather, maybe even do a big show.
Stove lids and swamp water. Not a bad idea, boss. Let's get ourselves a cup of blackjack, and we'll make a plan. I'll be glad to quit cooking slop for a bunch of snoring lumberjacks and do what I've always known I was born to do. Sell valuable underwriting to area business supporters.
And that's the incredibly true story of the first broadcast of KBXE from the pioneer days of the Chippewa National Forest.
This land is This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
As I was walking
on a summer day,
that ribbon of high
concrete clay,
I saw above
what a glorious blue,
that endless sky,
birds alive too,
I saw below
spreading far and wide,
that golden valley,
see the countryside,
and I said
this land was made for you and me. When the sun came shining and I was strolling, the wheat waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me.
This land is yours.
Pinetones, they're a local a cappella quartet featuring Charlie Parson, Jim Gurney, Char Paquette, and Jen Paquette. We're in Bemidji for the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio, and I'm joined now, we just talked about the story of Paul Bunyan. It's a myth that people have enjoyed for the last century. We had a little fun with it tonight. But for importance and meaning, you can't beat the real story of this place, which goes back a lot farther. I'm joined tonight by Professor of Ojibwe Language and Studies at Bemidji State University, accomplished Minnesota author, Anton Troyer. Good evening, Anton.
Bonjour.
I just read your book, The Assassination of Hole in the Day. It describes the father-son duo of the same name who led the Ojibwe people in Minnesota for several decades in the 1800s. And it's a great story. You write it very well. And I was just blown away that I could grow up as I did on the Iron Range and not hear of them until I was an adult. How do you explain that?
Well, it's hard to get much more than a sugar-coated version of Christopher Columbus and the first Thanksgiving going to school in this country. But we're trying to change that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a great book. You should pick it up. But you have a new book coming out that we should also tell people about. It's called Everything You Wanted to Know About Indians But Were Afraid to Ask. So you got to tell me, what's that about?
Well, it's about everything you wanted to know about Indians but were afraid to ask.
Okay. What are people afraid to ask? What are the touchy areas?
Well, it's everything, you know, from starting places with terminology and how do you get into the subject matters to, you know, the substance of history, current events, mascots, all kinds of things. It's a really broad range of subject material, but it's a nice, easy, approachable, and fun read. You can put it next to the toilet, have a couple moving experiences, and you'll be all done.
Excellent. Those are the best kinds of books. It's coming out this spring from Minnesota Historical Society Press. You should check it out. You're a great writer. What's the hardest bridge to gap between Ojibwe people and non-natives in this area? How do we talk to each other?
Well, I think Indians are often imagined, but all too often not well understood. And it's hard for a lot of non-native people to find opportunities to learn more and more deeply. And I think for Native people, too, there's a lot of frustration and anger with a lot of ugly chapters in our history. So getting to the point where we can have real communication and everyone doesn't have to walk around on eggshells is a really important starting place to have a deeper discussion.
Excellent. So... The title of our show tonight is A New Hope in the Headwaters. We're talking about hope in spring. What gives you hope for the Ojibwe people of this area?
You know, I have a lot of hope for all the people in this area, and I've been really inspired by many, not just Native Americans, but many non-Native people here, too. One of our local heroes, Michael Muirs, pioneered an effort to have bilingual signage throughout the city of Bemidji. He's a non-Native person, but he's done a remarkable job. And now we have most of the area businesses, the college, university, regional events center with bilingual Ojibwe and English signage. And my mechanic was engaging me in the Ojibwe language without any formal training. And I really see a lot of things starting to move and shake. So I'm inspired by all of the people here. I feel very hopeful.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for being here. It's Anton Troyer. He's a professor at Bemidji State. He's the author of the upcoming book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Indians But Were Afraid to Ask. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Miigwech.
You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show. We're live from the Chief Theater in Bemidji on Northern Community Radio, KAXE, KBXE, online, available to public stations through PRX and the Amperes Radio Network. Programming is made possible from support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're excited now to welcome to the stage a young woman from Bagley, a singer-songwriter, a renaissance talent, with her original song, I Got to Thinkin'. It's Annalisa Hushley.
the shore, but life is shorter. We find it out as we get older. It might feel hard right now, but people wouldn't leave if they didn't know how. Maybe we were drifting apart, or maybe he didn't want me to break his heart. I got to thinking he could have been an angel. Him ending us was a plan from above.
Listening to the Great Northern Radio Show, broadcasting live from the Chief Theater in downtown Bemidji, Minnesota. This city is set amid the headwaters of the mighty Mississippi, water that tells the story of North America. Most regard Lake Itasca as the starting point, but as many of you know, that lake is fed by many small streams throughout northern Minnesota. The river connects lakes like a dot to dot all the way down to St. Paul and Lock and Dam Number 1. The name Mississippi comes from a French rendering of the Anishinaabe name for the Great River. Some geographers had proposed calling it the Great American River, but that didn't take. It was the Great River long before it was in America. The river flows south to New Orleans, but it has run backwards in its history. The New Madrid earthquake of 1812 created the alarming sight of a north-flowing river for a few hours, and then when the water levels rise high enough, the Great River sends water back to the receiver, reversing its tributaries and reminding us all who's in charge. But the river faces danger. In addition to geological and environmental threats, the Mississippi River has a new foe in the form of a certain kind of fish, Asian carp, which include bighead, silver, black, and grass carp. You may have heard about Asian carp in the news, an exotic species introduced back in the 70s. These carp breed fast, grow big, and choke native species out of their food sources. Though these rogue carp have yet to reach Minnesota, officials here worry the species will alter the state's famed 10,000 lakes and precious rivers. That is the problem, but there is a solution.
To defend the native waters of Minnesota, the governor has turned to one man, a direct descendant of Zebulon Pike, Walter Troutline Pike, or as he's known in the river towns, Wally T. Pike, the Pied Carper. We now join him in the governor's mansion of our Midwestern state.
Wally, if the Asian carp reach the capital, we've got no choice but to dispatch the Air National Guard to shoot them down.
Yes, the Asian carp's propensity to leap from the water when agitated makes them a potent aerial danger.
I was elected on three very specific promises. One, I would raise no taxes. Two, I would cut no spending. Three, I would not surrender the state to a master race of mutant foreign fish. I figure the voters will let me wiggle on two of those, but not that last one.
Well, Governor, you should keep your promises a lot more vague when it comes to the hostile water vertebrates. These Asian carp don't care about your politics. They only want to breed where you drink. They're like college students.
Get downriver and find out what's going on. We'll pay you a handsome reward if you keep them in Iowa, where people are used to voting for invasive species every 4 years.
I'll see what I can do, but I've got to warn you, Governor, I'd figure out a way to keep some of your other promises in case the Asian carp break the line.
Oh, geez, anything but that. Betty, We'll need resume paper. Lots of it. Disgraced state executive seeks employment in carp-run oligarchy. Oh, heck. Pike, I need you to come through.
I was traveling south, on a boat, down where the big river starts to get wide. I knew all kinds of fish. There's the northern pike, an ornery fish that cheats at poker. There's the bass, too stupid to hold down steady work. There's the muskie, who's pretty nice, except for that he eats cats if you let him, and you shouldn't. All these fish are natives to the watershed, and I knew how to keep them in line, but these varieties of Asian carp are different. I didn't know what to expect.
Well, Mr. Pike, we're south of Davenport now. We've been seeing all kinds of them Asian carp. We've tried giving them dirty looks and muttering at them, but they stayed away. That usually works on people.
I had hired an Iowan as a river guide. He was clothed in the traditional dress of his people, jeans and a John Deere t-shirt. I made the ceremonial offering of Krispy Kreme donuts, and we had formed a special bond during our journey downriver. His name was Don't Offend the Visitors. Say, what's that over there?
Oh, that's them, all right.
They're starting to jump. Say there, hey, you with the big mouth, Mr. Big Eyes. Oh, come on, Asian carp.
Whoa, what'd you say? You say Asian carp?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. That's what you are, Asian carp.
That's what I thought you said. What do you think, just because the eyes are parallel to the mouth and I got an insatiable appetite for native aquatic species that I'm Asian?
That's racist.
I don't know about you, pal, but I was born in Illinois. My name's Eddie. You ever heard an Asian named Eddie? I'm an Asian American cop. And if you don't mind, I'm headed north to the good life in Minnesota.
See, about that, I'm here to tell you that life up there, it's only okay. We have so little to offer a carp like you.
A carp like what? Like I'm some kind of monster? I like plants. I like to eat tiny little fish and bugs and stuff. What, like you don't have fish up there? I've been watching the fishing channel. You ask me, pal, you people are monsters.
Now,
that's right.
Now, just a minute. Now, I think we've gotten off to a bad start. All I'm saying is that the people of Minnesota don't want a bunch of new fish to take over the lakes. That's all.
Manifest destiny. You ever heard of that?
Sure,
the divine providence of our kind, pal. Oh, wait a minute. Where are my manners? This here is Shalene. And before you ask, she is, as you would say, with child.
More like 10,000, Eddie.
Yeah, she's got eggs to lay upstream. I wish I knew for sure if all of them were mine. Sure did. You're wearing those low-rise weeds like that? Well, I figure either I'm the father or else I ain't the father. Both ways, I can live with that.
Oh, Eddie, you'll be a wonderful father.
Hey, what can I say? I love kids. They're delicious.
Well, I can appreciate your situation, but I've got to lay it all out there. I can't let you come to Minnesota. You've got to stay down here by Muscatine. I hear it's nice. I've never been there, but they have a cable television provider and a vibrant office supply industry. It's a city on the go.
I don't know. We want to get away. I grew up in a river town. Nothing but fighting, running the rackets.
The rackets?
Sure, the rackets, Swallowing native species whole, disrupting ecosystems, digesting my enemies slowly over the course of a work week, jumping up in the air whenever I hear a motor, jacking DNR boats and selling them to give money to the super PACs.
Wow. I heard you guys were rough, but I had no idea.
Yeah, well, let's just say when the new Congress is going to recognize that all the job creation we carp do.
Carp or job creators?
You better believe it. We are the number one domestic consumer of lunch meat. My preference is corned beef, but Shalene here, she likes turkey.
I'm all matching my figure. I don't want to look like my mom.
Baby, baby, it's okay. You're eating for 10,000 now.
Well, if you like lunch meat, you'll want to stay down here near the meat processing plants. Up north, it's all crayfish and June bugs. Nothing you'd enjoy. And it gets cold in the winter.
Yeah, well, give me a number.
A number?
Yeah, chump. Temperature. And make it Celsius on account of you being too Asian for me to handle.
I don't know. Minus 20?
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
No, it really gets that cold sometimes.
This muscatine. They got them all. Shailene likes the shop.
I need 10,000 hoodies and a case of energy drinks.
Sure, you can get that down here.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. Say, I didn't get your name.
Wally Pike.
Pike, huh? A little meta, don't you think?
Well, it's a premise.
Whatever, man. Hey, maybe we come up to Minnesota to visit this summer.
Call first.
Well, okay, if we bring the kids, the ones we don't eat.
call or Facebook. Facebook me.
You on LinkedIn?
Start the motor.
Hey, Shailene, your water motor.
Scientists remain baffled of the inexplicable halt of the Asian carp's migration to northern waters. But every fish in the river knew it was Wally Pike's finest moment.
The Great Northern Radio Players, stopping aquatic threats wherever they may appear. We're proud to welcome back to the stage Too Many Banjos.
I went down to the river to pray. I went down to the river and saw her bathing nude in the hollowing hills, bathing nude, and I know she saw me looking down. A shame for her, for me. There's a hole in the back of my Bible where I keep my loaded rifle. When the words of a sermon he told reach the ears of the man he murdered, how he prayed for rain, for rain to come. Like it did, nothing fits me like it used to. When I was a younger man, when I was a younger stallion like yourself, full of piss and
stage here at the Chief Theater of the Great Northern Radio Show with Minnesota author Neil Johnson, who has a book called The Resorts of Minnesota, exploring the heritage and history of Minnesota's family resorts. Okay, yeah. And Neil, now, first of all, before we go any further, you're from Debs.
Yes, yes. I am from Debs. It was a great place to grow up. I remember the 4th of July celebration, a big event up there where me and Pete Strand owned the egg toss one year.
All right. And the other interesting thing is, in this book, you settle the Paul Bunyan where is he from debate.
Absolutely.
And he's, where is he from?
From Bemidji, the first city on the Mississippi.
Some people were confused and thought it was Brainerd.
We've cleared it up.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Very good. So you went to resorts all over Minnesota, and what was it like getting this book together?
It was a blast. I mean, it was, you know, I left corporate America and did this book, and it was absolutely fun. I think it was tougher on my wife than me. You know, she was at home with all the kids, and I did get to bring the kids sometimes, but we put on about, I think I put on 40,000 miles doing that book. There were four of us who shot photos. We shot over 20,000 images. It was a big, big project, but I was really pleased with the end result, and I wanted to get into that. The stories of the family-run resorts. I mean, there used to be almost 5,000 resorts in the state, and there's now about 900 left. But there's still the same number of beds. So, you know, you've had places get bigger, and I think that's the history that people have focused on are the big places, and I wanted to cover what are these 10-cabin resorts like, and how did those develop, and the ones that are still here, why are they still here?
What was your favorite one?
You know, it's a great question. I get to ask that a lot. It depends on what people are looking for. I like the outdoors experience, so I really liked the two water access only properties in there, Angle Inn Lodge and Wilderness Bay Lodge, but I took a family vacation to Westridge Shores in Alexandria, and they have an art studio on site with kilns, and our kids came back with all kinds of art trinkets that they put together. It was great.
That's cool. You know, so what's going through the mind of a resort owner as they're getting ready here in the springtime?
Well, you know, if you just want to think about a resort right now, the owners, they're getting ready. It's typically a family running these, and they're raking the beach, putting in the docks, the water toys, tuning up the boat motors.
Well, oh, for heaven's sake, it didn't take that long to get here. Oh, will you please just settle down?
Oh, honestly,
goodness, what have you been doing? Well, Frank, for heaven's sakes, that's why you don't order the jumbo slushy. I swear, Frank, you've got a bladder like a chipmunk.
Yes, dear.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Mr. Johnson? We're the Dolans. I'm Kathy. I called last week to make a reservation.
Well, yes. I thought you were a prank call.
Oh, no, we're real. We're from an inner ring suburb of the Twin Cities. I'd tell you which one, but the point is, we can't afford your summer rates. This is my husband, Frank.
Yeah, I work for the DNR.
In the suburbs.
He has a highly specialized job.
You'd be surprised how many tomcats get caught in the air ducts at the outlet stores. You know what first happens?
And this is my daughter, Lindsay.
I'm very cold.
Oh, it's a little nippy, sure, but we've got each other, and what I'm sure will be a very affordable rate for our cabin, right, Mr. Johnson?
Well, as you can see, the ice is still on the lake. Our cabins don't even have any heat. All our amenities are encrusted in a thick layer of ice, so I could not in good conscience charge you for staying here.
That's what I'm talking about! That's how you get the 4 stars on the internet. I knew I picked a winner. Frank, get the bags.
Yes, dear.
I can't believe you're doing this, Mom.
You'll thank me later when I pay half of your tuition at that college we found on the internet.
Which college?
That one in Oklahoma.
Fort Sill? That was the Army, Mom.
It'll be good for you, honey. It's the only college where they pay you.
It's not a college. Besides, I'm interested in fashion design.
Oh, I'm sure they'll need some fashion around the fort, dear. You could design purses for your friends that match their camouflage. You could even sell them on Etsy.
There are no purses in the Army, Mom.
Well, not once you sell them.
You know, do you have firewood? I think you'll need a fire to stay alive through the night.
I already thought of that, Chief. Frank, bring in the firewood from the back of the van.
Yes, dear.
We've been looking forward to this trip for a long time. It's beautiful up here, very picturesque. And I love, love, love the name of this lake.
Thrifty Lake is a popular destination.
Oh, good. Here comes the firewood.
It's more awkward than it is heavy.
Folks, this is a piano.
I know, right? We saw a show on public television about how to heat your home with a piano for practically nothing. Looked like a great idea.
Mom, that was the movie Billy Elliot. It was a very sad scene.
Well, anyway, that family must have had a frugal mom like me.
The mom in that family died. It was her piano.
Oh, my, well. That's why I don't own a piano.
You own this piano.
Owned? Looks like firewood to me, dear. Help. Frank, get chopping.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Sure thing. You know, this works out great. DNR regulations prohibit the transportation of firewood on account of the threat of contamination by the emerald ash borer. No emerald ash borer in this piano. That's for dang sure.
Well, I suppose you can stay in the lakeside cabin. It's not in much demand these days on account of the wind off the lake and, well, the threat of death by hypothermia.
Thanks, Mr. Johnson. That'll be great. Once we get the fire going, we can start chopping a hole in the ice for the swimming.
You know, I'm afraid we don't have a sauna here.
Good thing. What do you think I look like? I'm made of money? No. I figure if the water is refreshing after having a sauna, it must be even more refreshing after not having a sauna. Come on, Lindsay. Let's go stomp a path down to the cabin.
Excuse me. Was it Frank?
Yeah.
You doing okay?
Well, I almost got this thing busted up now.
No. I mean, generally. Are you okay generally?
Yeah, I think so. I know Kathy comes across a little brassy, but she means well. I mean, I'd be lost without her. I booked us in a hotel in town tomorrow night. We ought to be good and cold by then. This is pretty much how we have to work every vacation. She comes up with some scheme, and then I plan a shadow vacation and when she's not looking. Ever since Lindsay was little and wanted to go to Universal Studios in Hollywood, we went to Cable Access TV Studios in White Bear Lake. But I made sure Lindsay got to go to the Mall of America, and it worked out, and Kathy ended up loving it because of all the coins she picked up on the floor. Hey, we're still married.
Well, I guess you do what you gotta do, right? I mean, there's a reason I had to give up my life as a rodeo clown, and her name is Mrs. Johnson.
Hey, that reminds me of the time Kathy thought she could have her own rodeo to save money on tickets. There was a hole in the fence down at the stockyards. So we were looking into the...
I thought if you were going to drag me out into the woods, I'd at least have the chance to have a summer romance. And it's too cold for that. All the young people are still in school.
Now, sweetie, you'll just have to have an early spring romance. Well, look over there. Not so bad, huh?
What? The person in the snowsuit knocking icicles off their gutters? You can't even tell if it's a boy or a girl.
Now, dear, your father and I would love you either way.
Mom, geez, why can't we just go on a vacation in the summer? I'm missing school for this. Why is saving money such a big deal?
Precious memories, Lindsay. You need anecdotes. I'm giving you the gift that never stops giving, mommy issues. My mom used to spend money like a maniac. We had kitchen gadgets that organized our kitchen gadgets. At one point, our entire family's net worth was concentrated in shoes. If I raised you normal, you'd just be a well-adjusted young woman who lives in the suburbs. There's more to life than that, dear. You gotta have some drive. This will keep you on your toes. I love you, baby girl. You're getting to be such a beautiful, intelligent, neurotic woman. And I'm so proud of you.
Oh, Mom, I love you too.
Good deal. Now let's go burn that piano. Frank, get the hamburger grease out of the glove compartment. Yeah. It's time to torch that.